Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our radio worship service. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One of the basic truths of the New Testament can be said in this way. In God's eyes, we are precious and important. Not because of what we have accomplished, but rather because of who we are. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, there are times when we must confess that we feel rather unworthy. We live with what people often say is the low self-image. But we thank you that you have given to us your revelation as to who we are in your eyes, precious and important, created in your image, redeemed by your Son, and used by the Holy Spirit to bring the message of Christ to this world. May we be faithful to that end today. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Use my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Seal it for thy courts above.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, imagine, will you, that you're going to church. As you enter the church building, you meet your friends and some visitors and greet them, spend a little time talking with them, and then you proceed to the sanctuary. As you're on your way to the worship service, suddenly you notice that there is a father and mother wheeling a child into the service who is heavily handicapped. If you can also now imagine with me that Jesus Christ appeared, the question that I would present to you would be this: who would catch the eye of the Savior first? I think that the text which I have already read for you might give us an answer to that question. The Bible tells us that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. As he entered into the crowds of people who were there, he noticed that there was a woman who could not stand up straight. She was bent over. She caught his eye. She was the one who was really in need of help. Jesus went over to her, touched her, healed her, and she stood up straight. Now everybody was rejoicing over that. Everybody, I might say, but the ruler of the synagogue. He was indignant. He was angry. And he uttered these cruel, hard words. There are 6 days to heal, but this is a Sabbath day. If you want to be healed, come on one of the 6 days and not on that day that is set aside for worship. In other words, there was something more important in life than a human being, and that was to keep the ritualistic rules of the religion that he followed. That took precedent over everything. What a cruel-hearted old person he was, and Jesus did not let him get by with it without some pretty tough words. He turned and looked at the man and he said, "You hypocrite, who of you here do not take the rope off the neck of the oxen or the donkey and lead it to get some water on the Sabbath day? But this is a woman, a child of Abraham, one who is created in the image of God. And you're trying to tell me that it was wrong to heal her on the Sabbath when she has been afflicted for 18 years? What's the matter with you?" And all of those who followed the ruler of the synagogue were quiet, and the rest of the people round about were filled with joy for the marvelous things that were being done and happening to them. Now, what is the text really saying, friend? For the important thing is not what I might have to say on this text today, but rather on what is God saying to us through this inspired word. Isn't it this? The individual, in the eyes of God, is precious and important. He's precious and important not because of what he has accomplished, for that woman probably was not able to accomplish very much. But she was important because she was a human being. She was created in the image of God. She had been given a mind with which she could think, a will with which she could make a decision, and a soul that was eternal. And that, as far as Jesus Christ was concerned, made her tremendously important. God had created her in this way in order that she might be one of his redeemed children. And when she, like all of the rest of us, turned away and didn't want to have anything to do with God, for we are all sinners, and that's all that sin really is, then God did not discard her, but rather than that, he came in the person of the Savior and suffered and died at the cross of Calvary, that this person, together with all of the rest of us, might have the forgiveness of sins and be restored into fellowship with God. And when we have been restored into fellowship with God, then we are his ambassadors to bring the message of the good news of the gospel to the world of which we are a part. Now, friend, I'd like to go back again today because it comes from the text that in God's eyes, the human being is tremendously important. This is not true in all places where we walk. In our day, nor was it true in any day. In some places, the individual has little significance. The important is not the individual, but rather the crowd. The crowd is where the power is. The crowd is where we must seek to find our acceptance. The individual, they can come, they can go. The importance of the individual is not found in all of society. Certainly, that's true in many political systems. We know that it was true in Nazism. Some of us who had the opportunity, I could not call it a privilege, but an opportunity, to go to see one of the concentration camps after World War II, were haunted at what went on there. I will never forget the day when we went into Dachau, and there they took us around to show us the chambers where thousands of people had been gassed. For the Nazi leaders, the individual was not important. In fact, many of them were considered to be hindrances to the government. Consequently, they were to be killed. Communism had pretty much the same record. The importance was not the individual, but rather it was the state. Again, I remember standing in Wittenberg, visiting with our guide, who was an East German communist. During the course of the time, I don't think she really was a communist, but during the course of the time that I talked with her, she said to me, "How much does an electrical engineer earn in the United States?" Not knowing for sure, but taking a guess, I said, oh, probably around 50,000. At least that's where he or she would begin. She said, my husband is a graduate of Karl Marx University in electrical engineering. He makes the same money as a common laborer on the street. What has happened in communism is it has broken down the initiative in the individual. Now my son has a similar scholarship that his father once had, and he too can become an electrical engineer, but he has rejected the scholarship because he does not want to go through all that hard work in the classroom only to come out and receive no more than a person who has never walked one day in academia. You see, friend, it breaks the initiative. How different from Jesus, who said, you are precious and important, and God has given you talents, and you use those talents to the furtherance of his kingdom as well as to benefit your own lifestyle. There's a real difference. When you get away from Jesus Christ, you cannot be too sure exactly how the human being is going to be treated. That is also true as far as capitalism is concerned. Here a few weeks ago, I was listening to Walter Cronkite being interviewed by Larry King. And the question was raised by Mr. King, how do you describe Enron? And tell me what has happened there? And the famed old news commentator said, well, Larry, there is one word that describes it, greed. Isn't that true? Greed. And so you see, capitalism, if it does not have a Christian ethic, can become a very vicious style too. William Barclay has said in his little commentary, without Christianity, there can be no true democracy. Because a democracy is a government of the people, and if the people are not important, then what do you have as far as democracy is concerned? So as I say, according to what we experience every day in our society, not every place will you find that the individual is considered precious and important. On the other hand, while you have the picture in our text today of the ruler of the synagogue who cared little about the individual, you have the picture of Jesus who says the individual is all important. And many of those who have been followers of Jesus Christ in the past, and certainly it is true today, are practicing what Jesus taught, the individual must come first. Not long ago, I visited a hospice in our community. I hope that you have a hospice movement in your community. A friend of mine, a friend of many years, a fellow pastor, a person who was raised in the same community that I was raised in years after I had left, had died after 2 long years of fighting cancer. On the day that he was so bad that they couldn't care for him anymore, he was fortunate to get a bed in the hospice unit. I went there to be with him, and as we sat there visiting together in the hospital, and he could not do very much talking, but I was sharing with him as we were alone in that room. I was sharing with him the great truths of God's holy word regarding eternity. You know, words like this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And as we sat there in the quietness of that room, I said to him, Paul, just imagine what Jesus has said. It isn't going to be very long before you will be with him. It could even happen today. His wife's name was Mary. And you know, when you're sitting there watching a one who is very meaningful to you in your life, one you love, one you have watched for years and years minister with the gospel of Christ in the most effective way, you too get emotional, and I was emotional. I said, let's put it this way. There's no great theological justification for what I'm going to say. It's all feeling. But Paul, just imagine it. Breakfast this morning with your wife, Mary. Dinner tonight with your Lord, Jesus Christ. And then I apologized again for being so emotional. And I turned to him and said, what I'm trying to say is this. Soon you will be in the presence of Christ. A nurse had come into the room. She did not have a nurse's uniform on. There was nothing that would reveal to him that he was in the last stages of his life except the care and the love. And that was revealed by that nurse when she knelt down beside his bed, held his hand, and said, Paul, what the pastor has said to you is right. We watch people in this area die every day. And soon the Lord is going to take you home, Paul. He loves you. And she went on and on. And I could not but think of, here is a woman whose heart has been touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she's ministering to her sick friend. There are many places today where Jesus continues to minister, not in person, but through his church and those in his church who know him. I think of River Hill School in our community, a place where handicapped, many of them severely handicapped children went to school every day. I take a look at those teachers, I have great respect for most of our teachers, but those at River Hill School who had to change diapers, who had to do all kinds of things that were not always to their liking, but they were teaching kids. Those kids were not going on to get PhD degrees. Those children were not going on to probably have a big role in society as far as a great accomplishment was concerned. But those children were precious and important, and those teachers put everything they had into it. And here you see a soul that has been really caught by the Spirit of God and is ministering in the name of Christ with this great truth, in God's eyes, you are precious and important. Friend, it all happens because there was a hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, and there Jesus Christ died. He died for the sins of the world, yours and mine, and he grants us the forgiveness of our sins, and he restores us into fellowship with God. And suddenly, he who has invaded our lives comes alive. And we see, as he did, the importance of the individual. And so that individual lives in our hearts, where we serve him or her in the name of Christ. Yes, sir, there was a day when that woman straightened up, and there is a day when you and I straighten up. For Christ has laid his hand of healing upon us. Amen. Lord, we give you our thanks that your eye is not only on the sparrow, but it is also on us. That we catch your eye, O God, is our prayer. But more than that, we pray that you will catch our eye and turn our lives around, helping us to understand that in your sight, we are precious and important, for you have created us, redeemed us, and are anxious to use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that Pastor Larson's gospel message will enrich your life today and throughout the coming year. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet titled Beside Still Waters, which contains 14 familiar biblical passages that promise comfort and reassurance. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.